Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together as one united people and one nation under God. Today's Tuesday, June 4th, 2013, and thank you for tuning in tonight to this week's edition of American Freedom Watch Radio. Tonight, your hosts are Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. And while there's all sorts of things I could talk about tonight with the craziness of the IRS and everything else, I'm going to go ahead and let Karen and John get going here because I know they have a guest and they have a lot of stuff they want to tell you about. So enjoy the show. And Karen, John, welcome.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you,
and thank you so much for joining us this evening. You're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. And we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Please visit our websites, Agenda21Today.com. Excuse me, I'm choking, I'm sorry. SaveAmericaFoundation.com, CanHandlePatriots.com. And John, where are you today? You are home.
Yes, ma'am, I am at home.
I'm getting your schedule down, John.
Well, and it's going to change pretty rapid, but, I mean, right now I'm at home, Karen.
Okay, glad to be home. That's good news. That's good news. And, John, I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at the Internet and look at some of this overseas stories, which I always love to look at. Unfortunately, we had a storm just go by, and we lost our water and our Internet. Hopefully something will be back by later on this evening, but right now we are out of both. But, John, guess what? I was watching Russian television. I decided we have to see what's going on in the rest of the world. And they had an unprecedented snowstorm in the beginning of June. How do you like that?
Well, it's something that it's kind of predicted, Karen, if you fall on the opposite side of the global warming green agenda, then you're fully aware that we're actually in a little dormant stage with our sun, and we're actually cooling as a planet. So
yes,
you can either buy the lie and freeze.
The UN scientists even were forced to come out and say that in the last 16 years, the Earth didn't get any warmer. Imagine that. And because of that, the oceans are not going to rise. Imagine that. But here we still have all of these sustainability programs built on the wrong information. And when somebody gives you the wrong information, it's because, folks, they lie. They lie. And boy, John, did you get a chance to see any of the hearings today?
No, ma'am, I sure didn't, Karen. I kind of focused today. I wanted to, to get in line, and I always like to check in on a monthly basis with what's happened and what's taking place inside the United Nations, because that is the map to where we're headed. Huh?
I know. Well, let's give a little couple of minute tour around the world from what I got from CFACT. They are covering the climate. Oh God, I don't remember the full name of it because they always have all these long ridiculous names. Anyway, it is the climate conference that they have on climate and global warming. And they've got all of these people there scaring each other to death, while if they ever left the building and turned on the news, they would find that their own scientists said that what they're saying is not true. But I guess if you sit in a little dome and you get to say the oceans are going to rise and that man is creating this global warming and that we're all going to die from carbon dioxide poisoning, and you get other ignorant people to spend trillions of dollars making sure that we can cool down the climate, I guess then they could say next year, look how wonderful it's working. The climate's getting cooler.
Yeah, and Karen, it's a fact that in their meetings recently, they They have a sustainable energy for all advisory board, and they met in April in D.C. And one of the things about the sustainable energy for all initiative is that they're going into another decade, and they're going to start that new battle against fossil fuels and more implementation of, I guess, alternative energy sources, which are failing. But at any rate, that all begins in 2014, and they want to have it complete by 2030. But when you look at the advisory board and who the people are that are sitting on this thing, and the co-chairman is the president of the World Bank, it offers this. Yeah, and then you go and you look at, okay, who's in charge of this task in America, and it's a whole great fleet of people, and some of them are very common names. Chad Holloway, you know, and then when we look at his background, he was the CEO of DuPont, and he's the chairman of the board of Bank of America. So, I mean, he's one of the guys, and, you know, Bill Gates, Jeffrey Immelt, and all of these people, when they've got a great website up if you want to look at America's energy future.
Oh, I can hardly wait. Where are we going to get the I guess it would be racist to say that we would have to get a bunch of Chinese girls standing over us with fans.
When you look at each one of the people that sit on this Energy Innovation Council and their ties to the United Nations, I mean direct ties. These are folks that are working hand in hand with the bankers, the world bankers,
you know,
and the United Nations. And it's all about, they have this great vision that no other American, these elitists, you know, they think that they know better, they see further into the future than any of us, just regular folks who are paying the high exorbitant price of fuel. And that's one thing, too, you know, our oil price is still hovering $90 a barrel, and we know that it's not based on supply and demand, that it's socially priced by design, so that they can fund all of the wind and solar energy projects that are failing.
You mean so we can fund?
Yes,
folks.
Absolutely, and it's America funding and the largest portion
right.
of that, and we have to be aware of the, you know, the UN.
Let's also remember our government has no money. The only way they get money is when they take it from us. So we are funding these insane programs that John has shown and proven week after week after week don't work. They don't work.
No, they don't work, Karen. And when we say funding now, it's a marriage of our federal government with these people. And each one of these guys that sit on this council for energy that are related to the UN, each one of them openly speaks about how they require federal government to bring this about, that they can't do it without the marriage of these public-private
partnerships
to make this happen, you know, and so they're fully.
John, let's stop for a minute and let's define the public-private partnership so people understand what we're talking about, because one of the things that we also know about the left is that they are master wordsmiths, and they change the names and definitions so often. So let's define it. That means when the government will make a regulation so that other companies will not compete, and the favored company who will win making the new product to the regulation will also get subsidized, and that means that you and I pay for it. So we are the ones that are assuming the risk, which means if it doesn't work, we don't get any money. But then we also found out, John, that even if it does work, we don't get any money. So how is this a partnership? Because to me, if I was a partner and I was paying into the company, I would expect something in return.
Absolutely. And we should, Karen. I mean, that's the way that it is. But now here's the thing. You know, Yeah, but when we talk public, okay, public means that it's a government entity, and when they join with the private sector, corporations, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about
that's
huge
right.
corporations, you know, DuPont, Bank of America. You know, when we know who these people are, Jeffrey Immelt with General Electric. Well, when
right.
they marry with the government, and the government then who makes nothing, the government does not have money that it does
right.
not steal or take from private citizens. And we know that this year that the American taxpayers are paying more than we've ever paid in the history of our nation. $2.7 trillion will be taken from us. Well, once they have seized our dollars, then they go out and they marry with these corporations through grants, and they say, oh, we're going to form a public-private partnership with General Electric so that General Electric can do wind research. And here's what's actually taking place. They're taking taxpayer dollars to fund General Electric projects. Now, if General Electric has a wind project that succeeds, well, what does the American taxpayer get back in return for the grant? $0. The money
right.
was given away. So when they've got the grant money, now they have a success, guess what? Now they step in and they say, well, no, the private sector. Look what the private sector has done. And GE then will be fully, fully profitable, you know, in whatever their endeavor is, because they used our dollars to make it happen, and they're doing it around the globe. And that's the thing that bothers me. If these
yep.
public-private partnerships were good for the American taxpayers, then we would be creating jobs. General Electric is not creating jobs in America
yep.
for American citizens. Yes, they have American employees. But many of these projects, once they get the grant funds, these projects are being put in all over in third world countries. You know, there's
right.
more, you know, when we look at solar development, nuclear power, wind energy.
Now,
and
when the government takes the tax dollars and does not put it back in its own economy, that's us, it means they
yeah.
are taking our tax dollars and putting them in another country and helping
yeah.
the economy of another country, not America, not America. And the people that get the reward from this, so we've laid out all the money. We've laid out all the money. We're giving it to a corporation that is creating a product that we paid for, and we are letting them sell that product anywhere in the world and keep all of the profit.
Well, and Karen, nowhere in our Constitution does it give power to the federal government
right.
to pick winners and losers in the private sector. Nowhere.
Right.
I mean, it's not one of their functions. It's not a duty that we said, here's what we would like the federal government to do. We have never had a voice in these decisions, and that's the outrage that American
yes.
citizens should feel and must take action on, is to stop this marriage of these corporatists to the federal government. And right now,
one of the ways that they do it is if everybody, this is a moment in history, and you should be watching the at least the high points of the hearings, because this is history in action, and you should be listening to what these people who were there and were being singled out by the IRS. Now, think about the government. Think about what John just said. Think about the IRS. What do you think happens to a business who's in competition or might have something better than what the government or one of these big corporations is doing? Look at what they did to Gibson Guitar. Remember that, John?
Yes.
It's all tied together. And what they've done is they've made little sound bites out of the story, so nobody ever puts the information together. So you think, okay, in the IRS, they're only targeting conservative groups from the election, and then they don't do it anymore. That's not true. They target companies that have competing products so that those companies will go out of business, and the favored company will get the business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the favored businesses, Karen, I mean, right now are the people, look at these corporations that are getting the largest chunks of these dollars from the public, you know, from our treasury. When we see these people, and every one of these folks are supporters of the global agenda in the United Nations. It's not by happenstance. They are complicit in the treason against this nation and the citizens of America, because they're taking our dollars and they're sending them around the world, and they're marrying each other. And, you know, Jeffrey Immelt, what a sleep.
Piece of garbage.
That's the only
piece of garbage.
Yeah, and then Bill and Belinda Gates, when you listen to Mr. Gates not only is he working
holier
in
than now, yeah. Mr. Holier than now. Folks, this is another thing that you have to think of, too. Money is a finite thing. So if there's $10 and John and I are in a room and I have $10, how much does John have? Nothing. Okay, if there's $10 and I and John and I are in a room and John has $5 and I have $5, we each have $5. It's finite. We can count it. We know what it is. In order for John to have more, I have to have less. Now, that's okay as you're making profit, but what's not okay is for John to put me out of business by eliminating the product that I'm making because he wants to make it. And that's what's going on.
Yeah,
and
exactly. And that's
like
why Jeff Immelt is part, you know. Yeah,
that's right.
Yep.
And this is why.
And that's the one thing about this administration, Karen. We're seeing them that they definitely attack anyone that has an opposing view or an opinion. Now, that's the basis for what's placed against the conservative movement, the patriot organizations, and anyone that's a Christian fundamentalist. All of these groups that were hand-selected and picked out by the Internal Revenue Service for scrutiny and delay, and the questions that they ask are illegal. I mean, they broke the law. That's the one thing that came from the hearings today that I got. I mean, it's now when these people come in, citizens hoping to impact their lives as Americans. I mean, they're working as Americans to improve our government. And when our government sees them as people that are attacking them, then we single them out, and we have a guy that goes over and sets down 157 times. If I want for the Obama administration, since they've been in power, this guy has been there once every 9 days to sit down with someone in the White House and tell me or to ask me to believe that they did not have these conversations about taking on and isolating these people so that they could not get the tax shelter that they required so that they could funnel money to constitutional conservatives during the campaign is criminal. Yeah,
right. That,
just gotta prove
that has affected so many groups from making money. For example, when we formed our group, OPR Associates, we actually had a meeting before and decided not to go for the 501c4 because it would take too long, and we wanted the corporation to, you know, to be done quickly, so we just did a regular corporation. Now, what that does on our side is that it does not allow us to collect donations and support candidates through those donations, which is what a 501c4 would have done. So you have to think outside of who you are and what you did and think about some of these other groups that you may have belonged to and the things that could have been done if they were funded properly.
Absolutely.
Well, the same thing happens in business. It's the same thing. It's the same pattern. They do the same thing all the time, and what we have to do is be smarter than that. If we know what the pattern is, you can break the pattern. You can't break a pattern that you don't know. You can break a pattern that you do know. This is why. Now go back to the next step. What's the next big thing that connects all of this together is education. If they don't teach people about finances and about the economy and about America and about the Constitution, then what do people know? They don't know anything. Well, surprise, they don't know anything. And many of these people, and I'm sure many of these IRS people, they thought they were doing the right thing because to them the Constitution is a living, breathing document and they can bend and twist it any way they want because they're better and smarter than we are. Mm-hmm. So this is what's going on. I want to share with you what we uncovered also this week. The Bush connection. I could not figure out why. I couldn't wrap my head around why Jeb Bush was so involved in Common Core, because I know that there was a lot of money involved, but he only received $1 million donation from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And for $1 million, it didn't make sense. And I was talking to another patriot, and she said, you know, I think the Bushes had more siblings. I said, okay. So I went to look them up, and I found, drum roll please, Neil Bush. And guess what Neil Bush does? Neil Bush owns a software company. And guess what the software company does? They have put together a program for Common Core. Isn't that nice? So now we have the government who has mandated every state use Common Core, which is going to go through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and then we'll go through the software company from Neil Bush. And guess who his investors are? Would you believe it if I told you? Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates. And the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, and OPEC's fixing to get together thing in the energy
right.
deal too, Karen. I mean, they're fixing
if you
to
do,
have,
and that's what I was just going to say, we could take the same thing and you will find the same people in the energy department. And what we really need, what we really, really need to do, and I'm very serious about this, is run for office and be either Libertarian or NPA. Because why are we being told a third party will never work? There are 80% of the population hates what's going on. If 10% of the population voted NPA, we would win.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why are we listening to the people who hate us and would love to see us all, well, as Alan, what was his name, Alan Grayson said, die quickly?
Yeah. Yeah.
They would love
and
that.
That's another scam that's coming apart too, huh, Obamacare?
Yep.
I mean,
yes.
If we don't turn that around in the next year, then we are really set to see such a drastic effect on the economy that it's, you know, we're going to go right back into another.
Right. So how could we change that? How can we change that? What can we do? Everybody says, okay, Karen, what can we do? What can we do to make a difference? What can we do to make a change? Well, if we continue to do the same thing, we know where we're going to wind up. So maybe it is time to make a change. It is time for each and every one of us to vote for somebody who's not connected to a party.
Absolutely.
Or is connected, or is a Libertarian Party. Libertarian Party, I just thought of, would probably even be easier because they're registered in all 50 states and could actually run a presidential candidate. I don't know if any of the other parties can because of the way the criminals rewrote the Democratic and Republican rules at their conventions. They kind of locked everybody out.
And that was the big effort this last election, Karen.
That's
because
right.
That happened. Every conservative, constitutionally conservative state that attempted to support Ron Paul, and you know, that whether a Ron Paul person or not, you still should have had a voice inside your state. So all of these state committees, especially in the Republican Party, redrew the rules so that all of those people that were Ron Paul, you know, would have had a say-so, were all locked
out.
You
know what?
And now that's taking place. It's over with.
If we want to make a change, then we have to make a change, because you can't talk about it and then do it. You can either make a change or you can talk about making a change, but you can't do both.
No.
So we have to make a decision that this is going to be the year or the election that we will not vote for any of these recurring criminals who keep on going back and doing the same thing, and then we get surprised that they're doing it.
And Karen, the big thing is we have to maintain the constitutional conservative base we have in our Congress, but we have to take the Senate. We have
That's
to focus not only on maintaining the Congress, but we have to gain 6 seats inside the Senate with constitutional conservatives.
That,
we've got to send some help to Ted Cruz and Rand Paul.
Yeah, we can't elect any more John McCains and think they're going to go there and be conservative. It doesn't work, folks.
No.
It doesn't work. And again, 70% to 80% of the people know it doesn't work. It does not work. Yeah. And it is time for a change. It really is.
Yes, absolutely.
And
I mean, and you can write on the debacles between the two parties and how the two-party system has failed. It's not a working, it's not working for not a single listener. You can't come up with anything that either one of these parties that have done or carried out that hasn't driven us to the same end goal of global governance. That's where they're headed. That's their design. And as long as we keep doing the same things over and over again, then we're the lunatics, not them. You know, until we stand up and say no more. You know, we're not going to do this anymore.
And we are really excited to have our guest, who should be on shortly, Heather Gass from California, who is fabulous and has done so much with the groups that she's working out in California. There are numerous YouTubes about Heather and the work that they have done in California. So she'll be joining us later, and we'll be talking about all of those mind-blowing techniques that they're using on us. And so I decided, John, I am watching now three Hollywood shows because I want to see what our future is going to look like. And it's quite interesting, especially when you hear the messaging that's going on. I've been watching Persons of Interest, because that's the show that they follow you around with a camera all the time, and they're always watching you. And since that's where we're going, I wanted to see what it would feel like. And the other one was Revolution, because I wanted to know what it would look like without electric power for 15 or 20 years and what people resort to. And what was the other one? Continuum, because that one puts you in the future so you can see how you're going to be a robot.
Wow.
It is amazing.
Karen, I mean, it's kind of amazing that if we look back and we go back over the last 20 years and we look at the huge Hollywood productions, you know, and, you know, where we, especially the things Mr. Schwarzenegger and everything he participated in Hollywood, and the fact that these robot warriors, and just last week, the decision had to be made inside our Congress and Senate about whether or not we would start to develop and continue to fund robot warriors. I mean,
I know.
These they're developed. They're built. They want to implement them and start putting them in war zones.
Yep.
we've already had that knowledge that was a game plan. They haven't. They do not hide anything from us. They just bring it to us bits and pieces at a time. And the full implementation is what we're about. All of us, every American citizen, is living in the time change that they have designed for us and where they're going to take sustainable development and the entire UN global governance agenda is exactly they don't tell us to, you know, hide from us. Full implementation, they expect to have it fully implemented in place by 2020. Global governance. So what's going to happen to the United States of America in our
Well, you know what? I did, we got an email from CFACT, and they were at the climate consult, whatever it was, climate meeting in Bonn, and they said that ICLEI was complaining because the grassroots in America is pushing back, and they were losing cities. And how dare we do that? What's wrong with us? I felt really good.
Yeah, great. And we should, because that's what we have to push back against. And we have, you know, number one, they're going to call you names, huh? And they're going to say, well, you're an isolationist. You know, you really aren't thinking about the impact of the world. You know, we need to be global citizens, and we listen to all the garbage. But the bottom line is I care more about an American citizen than I do anybody living in Botswana. And that's just a fact, folks. I mean, I'm an American, and I have a family orientation that says you take care of yours. You take care of your family first, and then if you have excess, then, yes, you go out and you help others in the community. But if you are struggling in your home, the first thing you do is get your house in order. And that's all we're asking is let's put our house back in order before we continue this globalist agenda or policy. Let's stop it. Defund all of those foreign aid projects where we're sending $4 billion to the West Bank. Use that $4 billion to put Americans to work, and that's logic. But, I mean, that's one thing we got to confront is their agenda is not going to go away. We're going to have to battle it, and if we appear to be isolationists, then let them scream whatever they have to scream, but never give up the battle, because
You are right, and it's getting very scary, too, because what's not being reported is all the violence. And we now have Muslims who are the imams and calling for the sixth caliphate. And let's remember that that's a lot different than what Revelation is. The caliphate means if you're not a Muslim, you're dead. Period. End of story. There is no discussion. Because the only way, I think it's something with 12, there's a group of 12, and they're the special gurus. And in order for this 12 group to be together and for Allah and Muhammad to come and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, there has to be tremendous bloodshed and death. And that's what they're preaching, folks. This is very, very serious, number one. And number two, it's in our schools. It's in our schools. We have to pay attention to what our kids are learning. The new history book.
Excuse me one minute real quick here, Karen.
Yes.
I saw Heather was out there, but looks like something may have happened to her phone. So hopefully she's going to call right back in.
Okay.
She was there, and I was just getting ready to put her mic on, and then her line dropped. So hopefully, Heather, please call back in.
Okay. If not, we'll give her a call in a couple of minutes. If not, you know, we'll see. But that's, yes. Okay, thanks, Sally.
Okay.
Did you have something to say? Were you...
No, I was just letting you give you an update on Heather coming on.
On Heather, okay. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I want to let you know what was going on out there.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Anyway, to get back to what we were discussing before is this business of what's going on with the Muslims in Europe, and not just in Europe. They're tearing up everything. They're tearing up Egypt. Today they were tearing up Turkey. They're not going to be happy.
Sweden,
right? Yep. England the other day. And what happened in England? What was the first thing that the Brits called for? They want their guns back. Mm-hmm. Folks, we have to be real serious about the guns, too. That was another thing. I don't know if you heard, but there was a woman in Portland, in Oregon. And the town that she was living in used to be a thriving community. Thriving community. Everybody was making lots of money. And they were very happy until the environmental greenie cuckoos came in and stopped them from logging for no reason, for some spotted owl or some nonsense, stopped them from fishing, and today they have zero. Not only do they have zero, but their police department, a woman called in on a 911 call and said, I don't have a gun. I know he's going to come in. You have to send somebody over. I know what he's going to do. And the woman on the other line of the 911 call said, I'm really sorry, but we can't do anything. Can't you just tell him to go away? We don't have any officers that we can send out on patrol because we don't have any money left to pay anybody to help.
And
think
on
about that.
Excuse me, now we do have Heather back on the line.
Wonderful, thank you. Well, let's stop there, John and Heather and everyone. This is Heather Gass, a great friend and a tremendous patriot from California who is fighting a tremendous battle and has been a pioneer and has taught us so much, unfortunately, through your bad experiences. But you've taught us so much. We really appreciate having you with us tonight. How are you?
I'm great, as good as can be expected, considering they're going to be passing the totalitarian regional plan in another month. But how are you?
Well, we have a governor who seems to feel that the wildlands corridor, which is the same as the biodiversity map, is really a good thing, and we should have a corridor that goes from Key West all the way up to Georgia, down the middle of the state. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's really what they're focusing on, the wildlands projects real heavily here too. You know, I think Florida and California are probably the ones that are leading the way, and they're actually getting federal grant money, and they're giving it to, and I say they, Caltrans, which is our transportation authority for the state, through the Department of Transportation. And then our local transportation authorities, believe it or not, are going into the conservation business. I mean, that's so-called conservation. But they're paying off these NGO groups like the Sierra Club and all these different nature conservancies and whatever to go target private property owners and convince these people to voluntarily sign over their property into an easement, a conservation easement.
Yeah,
or they're going to target them for regulation out of their private property rights. Those are their options,
exactly. Yes.
And what these people don't realize is they're giving up their carbon credits when they do that.
Yeah.
Because the land.
That's a fantastic way to go back at them.
That's right. You know, what I'm trying to do is, you know, let these people know, these ranchers know, that when they sign over their property to a third party to manage it through a land trust or a land bank, the benefits, the carbon credits, the residual benefits are millions and millions of dollars. They're sitting on a $1 trillion piggy bank, and they've just signed that over to these land trust and land bank.
Oh, what a great article. This is fabulous.
So that's where I'm trying to tie, because, you know, in California we have the carbon credit trading scheme that just went live last November. And so all of these land trusts and land banks are buying up all the property and getting private property owners to sign over their land in conservation easements. And what these people don't realize is they're giving away
their
carbon credits.
Oh, what a scam.
Yeah. And the other thing that some people don't realize is that if the easement holder purchases the land, so let's say that the rancher sells a conservation easement and then 10 years from now he can't afford to, pay his taxes or whatever, and he has to sell his land, a lot of these easement holders have first right of refusal. And when they purchase the property, the easement goes away. And they now have a property that's free and clear. Now, that's not the case for all of the easements.
So these
ranchers need to be very careful, and they need to read these easement agreements, because they think they're doing a good thing. They think they're going to sign over their land's going to be protected in perpetuity, and what they don't realize is there's a bunch of money to be made, and these easements can then go away. They can then go away if the easement holder buys the property.
And when they give those easements, and one of the things that happens too, doesn't that rancher, for a time frame, get one heck of a tax write-off?
Well, with the Williamson Act, they got a tax write-off. With the easements, usually what they get is a one-time lump sum. Like they'll pay them like four times what the value of the property is.
Yeah.
So, but see, what happens is, and that's good for this, you got to think about this long term. The rancher that's selling his easement and getting four times what his property value is right now in a down market, he's all too happy, right? This land's going to be, preserved in perpetuity. Well, what happens when the next guy comes along and purchases the land and has to abide by the same easement, but that landholder doesn't get any benefit, doesn't get any money?
No.
That's right.
And this is what's happening now, is subsequent landowners now are having to abide by an easement that the previous landowner put the property in without any benefits, and if they violate it, they can be sued. And so there's all kinds of, responsibilities, because technically government money was used to obtain the land, because a lot of these easements are purchased with federal grant money. It's
just—it's
a whole public-private partnership mess.
Yeah, Louisiana has a large number of land and oil companies, and they primarily purchased up marshlands in a vast numbers, huge acreages. And when they purchased them, they did it for the oil royalties and the rights. Well, now there's for tax sheltering, they have went ahead and they bought into these easements, and I don't know how many thousands of acres around me here locally that have just been handed over. And when you go and you talk, one of the guys that I know was Sweet Lake Land and Oil Company, when you talk to them, well, why did they do that? And they did it for the tax shelter. They received an upfront single tax year benefit, So they actually, were able to keep more oil profits and from their oil royalties, but eventually those thousands of acres that they've now turned over into these deeps will be wiped out and gone. It will never get back in to a private citizen's ownership. I just don't see any way for that to happen.
Well, exactly, and that's the thing is this is a long-term game plan, this whole rewilding project. This is a 100-year plan, or maybe not even 100 years now. They're waiting for these old landowners, who are, to either die off, they're waiting them out, or they're going to give them a windfall, profit, or, off of their land, and those people aren't thinking about, well, what about the next property owner? What's going to really happen to that property?
Also, wouldn't their families lose if they were going to inherit them, because their families would be stuck in the same position?
Well, that's the thing. That's how they're getting them to. What's happening is the Williamson Act is being phased out, and what the Williamson Act did was allow the property owners to get a tax write-off, okay, directly. Okay, they would sign a contract with the county. The land would, they would basically agree not to develop a certain portion of the land or all of it in exchange for a tax write-off. And but they kept control of the land. They, you know, it was just a simple contract, and it was for 10 years. So it wasn't in perpetuity, and they could re-sign it, you know, after 10 years or whatever. But the land and the rights to the land and everything stayed with the private property owner. So the Williamson Act, to me, was extremely successful, so much so that, you know, they want to do away with it because it kept the private property owner in control of the land. With the easements, now what's happening is they're phasing out the Williamson Act, and what they're doing is they've conditioned. I think the Williamson Act was simply a way to condition landowners over the past, you know, 50 years to not produce on their land and to give them a low tax base so that when they do pull the rug out from under their feet and say, oh, by the way, here's your big tax increase, these people don't know what to do. They haven't had to pay this kind of taxes, and they now have land that's not that they haven't been producing on. So they're now looking for another out, and sure enough, it's kind of the bait and switch. Oh, we have this new land easement deal. Don't worry about the fine print. Just sign here. And what that requires the landowner to do is go through a third party. So they put a level of bureaucracy, unelected boards, bodies, and commissions, these agencies like the Sierra Club and whatever, are now in control of your land. And they now can go on your land at any time. They monitor your land. The landowner has to pay them in perpetuity. They pay up front when they, as part of the deal, for the monitoring of their land. So that landowner that may get a big windfall initially, but the subsequent landowners don't get anything, and they get all the grief.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just a bad deal. It's a one-time good deal for them to turn over their land, and then, without thinking about what's going to happen to it later.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's really all of these things. They're all the same. The first couple of years, the first 5 years, you're building your bike path, people are enthused, they use it. By the third year, nobody's riding on the bike path, and now all of a sudden you have to maintain it.
Yeah.
But the people who put it in place, they're no longer in office.
Right.
And the new people get the venom because now they've got to say, we've got to raise the taxes because we have to pay maintenance on all those bike paths and sidewalks that nobody's using.
Well, and you're right. There are no plans for future management of any of this stuff.
No.
It's not the point of managing it. I mean, they're going to take the resources and the carbon credits, and this is all going to be about, you know, carbon mitigation, and we're all going to be living in the high density stack and pack housing, you know, in the priority development areas, and all of these other areas are going to be their playground and the priority conservation areas that they're going to use to make a bunch of money. And, you know, they're also trying to nationalize, you know, conservation areas throughout California, you know, like 18 million acres in private, not just public land, but private land, which encompasses all of the foothills around the entire inland basin of California, 18 million acres. Exactly. It's called the Foothills Legacy Project. I mean, it just never ends. And the thing is that nobody knows about it, of course. But when they nationalize these lands, technically it's public land. But because the public land engulfs hundreds of thousands of acres of private land, your private land now goes under the same management plan as the conservation areas. And see, that's
Absolutely.
What people don't understand.
Oh, no. Right.
And all they've got to do, and let me tell you something, they're very sneaky about that, because what they'll do is they will go in and they will find somebody that's got issues with either taxation or some problem, and they will get 500 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And they take that 500 acres, and they're willing to do that, and then every piece of property that is attached and adjoins that then becomes under the same guidelines and the same over-regulation.
Right.
Where then they start to pressure those private landowners, and they end up sucking it up. But, that, you know, what's the total agenda, and why would they want to hold all of these huge land masses and pile us into these, you know, sustainable development and these, you know, huge, massive complexes? Here in Louisiana, when I have these city planners that are communists for the most part, and they're not willing to admit that they had no, you know, this is not a vision that came from anyone inside Louisiana. It came from California and Florida, and it's being implemented on. Yeah. But then the thing of it is the vast amount of natural resources that they're
That's the key. America is the only country that the people own the land, what's above it and what's below it. And they can't stand that because that's no place else. Every place else is if the person is lucky enough to get a piece of property and then he finds oil on it, it belongs to the government.
Well, right now, what is it that they hate about, in, as an energy expert, trust me, right now the federal government hates it. They absolutely are appalled that the fact that, yes, we are increasing oil production in the United States of America. We're increasing natural gas production using fracking and using technology that is safe and effective, and we're doing it on private property.
Well,
so
that's what they hate right there. Well, yeah, the part of the 18 million acres that they want to lock up for this Foothills Legacy project, right, happens to encompass one of the biggest oil shale discoveries in California, okay?
Isn't that just coincidental?
Yeah, exactly. And this they're going crazy because they won't let us frack. They won't, and it's all on private land, of course, you know. So
it's really
it's so transparent. I mean, that's the thing, is, you know, once you know what they're doing and you know what to look for, it's so easy. I mean, you know, this is just
that's
giant.
That's what we were talking about. The problem is that people are fed sound bites. So they never realized that the same procedure follows through in every agency, in every idea, in every plan, in every community. It's all the same plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know what the plan is, you can actually see it unfold.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
You know, and that's one of the things that I guess. And Heather, I absolutely view you as a mentor and a pioneer because I still get emails. And what I see, I guess, unfortunately, things have happened first in California and Florida, and then I can watch them unfold here, and I can scream and I can holler and I can look what they're doing. Don't let them get this done. If citizens don't recognize, they are transparent in their mission. Their mission is laid out. They don't hide it. It's so available if you'll just take the time to do the research. And it's little research because they're so openly transparent about this. Now, the American Energy Innovation Council, what a scam. When I see, you know, Bill Gates, Jeffrey M.L., what's their mission? Their mission is to totally destroy the fossil fuel industry. They don't want us having cheap, affordable energy. That is not their goal. Their goal is to ship dollars and American jobs out of the United States of America.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the people that are putting this plan together, a lot of them came out of, you know, LSD using, pot smoking, you know, Berkeley.
I'm so glad you said that. Because
they invented LSD
talking
in Berkeley.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, the freaks there have taken over.
Yeah, no, I was just talking the other day, and I even wrote a piece on it. The people from the 60s, growing up in the 60s and 70s and being in New York and being in Greenwich Village and seeing everything that was going on and going to Wall Street and seeing, I mean, drugs, sex, alcohol, and then the contracts were written using drugs, sex, and alcohol. Not a lot of attention was paid to those contracts. But you could hear the people on Wall Street screaming when they stole Granny's money because they were so coked up, they thought that that was really cool. And they lied and lied and lied. That's what's going on. And these people, they're in Washington, and they're writing these bills. And that's why they don't make sense, and that's why they have no ending, and because they're coked up, they're drugged up there. Where is all of this drugs going that comes across the border? It doesn't just go to the ghetto. The ghetto people don't have the money.
Yeah.
Well, we need to organize. We need to organize. I mean, look, you know, I mean, what we're doing out here is I got sick and tired of going there to their rigged meetings. You know, they hold these Delphi meetings where, you know, you show up. I went to a public meeting last night, and it was just a typical Delphi meeting, you know.
Yeah, let's talk about that when you're done.
Yeah, you need to have a go over that with folks.
Okay. Well, you want to do it now?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Okay, just give us a second because this is American Freedom Watch Radio brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman. This is your host, co-host, Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks, and our guest is Heather Gass. And we can also be heard on redstatetalkradio.com. Please join us and visit our website, agenda21today.com. Okay, we're talking about the Delphi technique with Heather Gass, who has just experienced the meetings firsthand. And folks, you need to listen to this and share it because every meeting is conducted the same way. Nothing
Absolutely.
Changes with this crowd. You have to understand, remember school. Remember one size shoe fits all. Remember you can't think. You can only do one thing, and it has to be done that way. These programs are a result of that. So all the meetings are the same. All the plans are the same. Did you know every city in America is going to increase population between 50 and 75% in the next 10 years? Like you read one plan and you read the next plan and they took it from the same plan book. I think maybe they have like five or six of them and they take just change the cover pages. But anyhow, Heather.
Yeah, so look, all of these meetings are run by paid facilitators. When you hear that there's going to be a public workshop or a visioning session or a public input session, you know, to me, I know there's nothing about public input they want. They don't want anything to do with us. They just want to be able to check the box that says they invited the public came, and see everybody loved it, and they can move on with their process. Because the Delphi technique is designed by the RAND Corporation, and it's developed to build a false consensus, the idea that you had public input into the process and that everybody is not necessarily in agreement, but they funnel you in. It's a groupthink technique. So they squelch the dissenters, and they basically, all the decisions have already been made. They already know what they want to do, whether it's creating a high-speed rail system or, you know, setting up these land conservation things or building stack-and-pack housing or bike paths or whatever it is. You know, I don't care what the meeting is. Well, I went to last night it was Common Core. They were talking about how great Common Core was, and it was yeah, and they do this also. They use the Delphi technique on our children every day in school, you know, when our kids want to, you know, speak up and have an opinion about something that's other than, you know, what they want. You know, they jump all over those kids. They make them feel bad. They marginalize
them.
They embarrass them. They get the other kids to do it, too, and then that's how they shut you down.
And then they have a program of which they need more money on anti-bullying.
Right.
That's the way it works.
Right. So you know, basically everything's run through these fake meetings nowadays. And what you need to do is, it look, once you know how these meetings are run, it's very easy to bust them up, because you know the last thing they want is public input. So you go in, you have a handful of people. I mean, we had about six or eight of us at a meeting the other day where there were 70 of them, and we just ran them in circles, and basically we just started asking questions, mm-hmm. and just kept them off of their game, and just whatever questions you want to ask, just keep asking. I mean, these are our tax dollars at work. These people are plotting and scheming to, change our lives permanently, and here we show up as tax-paying individuals wanting to have answers, and we deserve them. And so, you got to show up. You got to start asking questions. We pass out flyers to people in the meetings talking about how it's rigged. We also pass out information about our opposing views. We also hold our own meetings. We got sick and tired of going to these one Bay Area rigged meetings, and where we only got 2 or 3 minutes to, say what we wanted to say. So we passed out about 5,000 flyers. We did robocalls to 11,000 people in the neighborhood. We put out a full-page ad in the local newspaper. We passed out flyers at the farmers market, and we held our own town halls. We held 2 town halls, and we had, I think, almost 300 people at each town hall.
Wow. That's great.
Exactly. And it was packed. And we had our city council started coming to our meetings because we were going to theirs and we weren't getting a fair shake, and so we decided to hold our own, and we had a really, really big turnout, and we held a few of them, and then we got those people to start coming to the city council and planning meetings, and so we actually got our city to back out of the priority development areas and change a few things that they wouldn't have changed at all had we not thrown a fit. But But for very little money, you can do this. And mm-hmm. and that's the thing is, it doesn't take a big minority, but it does take, being aware, awake, and getting active and creating a task force in your town. You have to start watching your local politicians, and your local your town manager is the one that's actually handling everything. The town manager and the staffers. The city council, my city council had no idea. They hadn't read any of these bills. They're basically part-time, people.
Right.
And so the town manager, my town manager in a town of 42,000 is making over $330,000 a year, believe it or not. And these people are, plus he's getting, his bonuses and, his pension. And, I mean, he's going to retire with millions. And they're all drinking the Kool-Aid. They're all involved with the regional planners, and they're getting their marching orders. And my local town's general plan had verbatim the definition of sustainable development from the United Nations Brundtland Report.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we just went
through. And they all do.
Well, and then
they're
right.
They'll have a resolution that they're not going to follow Agenda 21.
Well, I asked them where the definition came from, because I said it's not in the dictionary. And I said, where did this definition come from? Because you can't just make up a definition and have the
mm-hmm.
entire general plan and the focus of the town be based on some made-up definition. So, of course, I knew where it came from.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening is the consultant that they hired to do our general plan was the same consultant who wrote the blueprint for a sustainable Bay Area. So we paid over. it's just dot, 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 dot.
And how much did you pay for that?
Almost $500,000.
Right.
Wow.
And when I hear that, and I tell everybody now, the next time you go to your computer, go to the edit part and look where it says replace all, and take out your name and put in somebody else's name and go to the next town and sell the plan for the same amount of money, because that's what you just paid for.
That's exactly right. It's a total cookie cutter solution. And the company, David Early, DCE Planning, which is Urban Ecology, they wrote the blueprint for Sustainable Bay Area in the early 1990s. They got grant money.
It was 1990. Yeah, it came directly out of Berkeley.
It was in the early 1990s, in 1994, okay,
yeah.
And they got grant money to write this blueprint, and they've been working on it for over 20 years. We were one of the pilot programs in the country for the sustainable cities. And then now, of course, he makes $500,000 a pop at least going to all the different cities in the nine Bay Area counties, making sure that his blueprint is in all of our general plans. And so, I told my city council, I stood up and basically said, look, if this is the direction you want to take, and this is the definition you're going to use, and this is where it came from, just own it. Be honest about it. Credit and source.
Absolutely.
Open. Credit and source. And then they didn't want it. They freaked out. They didn't want to do that.
that's one thing, American citizens have, and it's something that we all should demand.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm aware of your plan. I've become aware of what it is that you're doing to me and all the citizens in my state and in the nation. So now that I'm aware, just tell me that you're aware. Tell me that this is your design and you're willing to do that. So then I know who you are, and I can attack you and replace you. I can't replace you if you want to take ownership of it, and they will not own it.
Louisiana coastal
plan. I had a senator and a congressman say, I really haven't looked at that. I don't know how you can make these links and ties to the United Nations, but if you would, go ahead and do that work for us and give it. So I take it, and I go through the entire document, and it's a 50-page document. I go through it, and on every single page of the document, I had proof that it was linked to the United Nations and Agenda 21 and exactly what they had on their mind and what they were going to vote for and do. And then so I go ahead and I do the work and give it to them, and guess what? They would, I can't believe that this is actually taking place. Well, it's already too late. You just voted for it, and now we're stuck with it. And finally, the citizens now that it's being enacted are becoming aware that they're going to lose their homes, they're going to lose their land along the coastline, and they're going to be displaced. They're going to be moved where they want them to live. So why won't they just take ownership so that we can, there's a guy that's with them, and here's a guy that's with us. That's all I want. Tell me who you are so I can,
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. I have my city council on tape and where they were literally coming out of their skin because I was like, look, just admit it. Just, credit and source it in the document so that people know because it's not in the dictionary. Just fess up to it. And they were like, they had just spent 2.5 hours discussing, whether parsing which words they were going to use. Should they use encourage versus, any words that they were going to put in the general plan. They were going painstakingly going through which words they were going to use. And then with the words that were the foundation for the entire document, they didn't want to define it at all. I mean, they didn't want to source it. I have them on camera, and I posted it on YouTube. And, of course, I send them all kinds of stuff all the time. I found a 1994 American Planning Association document, and the American Policy Center just sent it out today. But basically, it links in one page, in one paragraph. It's the American Planning Association talking about how the President's Council on Sustainable Development, started all of this, and from the UN, and ties it to the Bay Area and Agenda 20, everything, in one paragraph.
And that came out. Who did you say released that one page?
It was 1994. I found a document online. It's the American Planning Association, APA Northern News. You can go to APA Northern News. It's April 1994. Just email me. I'll send you the document.
Okay.
But it's a smoking gun because it ties everything together. It's the American Planning Association talking about how the Agenda 21 was being implemented through the via the Rio Earth Summit and the President's Council on Sustainable Development was implementing this throughout the federal government, and how multiple grants were given to urban ecology to write the blueprint for a sustainable Bay Area. I mean, it was like, seriously, this is like, really? This is, they couldn't have tied it up with a bow any better, you know?
Wow.
And so, you know, I took this stuff and I've been, you know, I write articles and, you know, put it all together and, you know, send it to my city council and all the media and, you know, whomever. But, you know, I just keep force feeding my city council.
And you're doing a fabulous job. You really are. We were just talking about how ICLEI is complaining at the convention in Bonn that the grassroots people are getting in their way and cities are actually opting out of ICLEI, and they're very upset.
Oh, well, you know. You know, I wake up every day trying to figure out how to make them upset. So
I
am very proud of that. I mean, you know, yeah. If just little old us can make them upset, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well, Heather, we're number one. We are number one in Florida on the Southern Poverty Law Center's list of groups and agencies that are anti-government.
You know,
well,
but then, you know,
I was excited when I saw
that. You know, and isn't that's the way that communists operate and socialists operate, is they want to define you for yourself, huh?
Right.
They want to
right.
let the sheeple have an understanding. You know, Karen is anti-government. No. I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-deplorable bad government. I am pro-government of the people, for the people, and by the people. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't allow them to define me
right.
as being anti-government. And they do
right.
that often. You know, Ms.
I know. You know what? You know what? It doesn't.
No.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, when I get up and speak at any group or any hearing or whatever, I should say any hearing or public event, I never say I'm a Tea Party person or I'm not. You know, I always speak on behalf of myself or whatever. But of course, those labels always come in because that's just their way of trying to put you in a box. But you know
yep.
what
yep.
I've found is. What I've found is, you know, when they go, well, what isn't this, don't you think this is part of Agenda 21? I go, well, gee, I don't know. All I know is what it says on their piece of paper. And their piece of paper off of their website says it's part of Agenda 21. So you might want to ask them, and then they don't print any of that.
No.
You know,
well,
so
and,
I don't
that,
know. Well, I'm just going by
you
what
know,
they're telling me.
And I think America... hopefully the American citizens are awake to the fact that media is complicit in this because, mm-hmm. you know, when we do give truthful interviews, I know any time that locally I speak to anyone with either print or television media, I always am very clear they're not going to get to the crux of what it is I had to say. They're going to go on the outside edge of it in the periphery, and they're just going to continue the storyline as per what in Louisiana our parish police jury has to say. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're going to, you know, take Mr. S. Brooks is anti-government. Well, no, God don't. I never said that, you know. But they're going to quote you and they're going to misquote you, and that's
right.
the way the media is complicit, and until we turn that around, and Karen and people in Florida are doing that, and, you know, their newspaper is awful.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, thank God for outlets like yourself and, you know, thank God for the Internet and, you know, Facebook and Twitter and, you know, all
yes.
of these.
YouTube.
You know, I don't watch the news anymore. I haven't watched the,
no.
I don't watch the news. I don't get the newspaper. I mean, I don't really care. You know, I get all my information from my friends over the Internet. It's faster than the television anyway. But, you know, if I want the truth, I got to go find it. You got to go look for it. You know, you're not going to go find it.
People who love liberty, truth is important to the rest, the people that don't understand freedom except lies.
Well, and you know, to me, it's like, you know, once, you know, before, things didn't make sense. You know, you go, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that smart, but I know I should. They shouldn't be doing this. And I'm thinking, it's that pit of your stomach where you're going, are these people idiots or what?
Yeah.
And it's until you figure out what the game is, because it's whatever they're doing, it's 180 degrees behind that, where the truth is, you know?
When you stand and you give beef, and that's one thing, Heather, that Karen and I did in a big way with our Congress and Senate. We sent them an energy plan that was spot on. Absolutely a workable plan, create jobs, the things that they say they want.
Right.
You know, they get in there and go, we're going to create jobs. I'm all about job creation. Well, no, you're not. You're telling a lie because we gave you a blueprint and a plan that would move that. If that's your agenda, creation of jobs and restoring the American economy, if that's your agenda, here are the projects and the things that you could do to unleash the American exceptionalism that we all know exists inside this nation, but until the average American citizen starts to use that pit in their gut feeling, they know something's wrong. All of us know this is not right. This is not the America we were given. And they know it, but until they're driven to action. You know why we were driven to action? I guess we were enlightened at a little earlier space of time. But these attacks are every day in every local community. And if we don't start becoming the critical thinkers that we have to be, that we don't accept the story, we don't accept the cover-up, we call it a lie when it's a lie, and we speak the truth. And that's what we have to be about, just sharing the truth. Folks,
but you know what?
Some people
can't handle the truth. You know, I mean, that's just a shame, but it's the truth. You know, some people don't want to know. My mother is one of those people. She thinks denial is not just a river in Egypt. It's a way of life. And, you know.
Well, I mean, that's part of what they've done, too, old Heather. I mean, that's part of their agenda and their design, too, is the indoctrination into acceptance.
Well, but some people just visit, you know, and that's partly where, you know, you have leaders, you have followers, you have people who can handle the stress and the truth and people who don't want to know. You, me, Karen, we're all people that, look, as bad as it gets, as bad as anything is, hit me in the eyes. Tell me what it is. You know what I mean? Give me all the facts, because then usually my mind makes up worse scenarios than what it really is, you know? So
too.
If you give me all of what you think is really bad, the information, then I can actually make an intelligent decision with all the facts. And you know, it's not so scary. You know, it may not be what I want to hear, but...
The problem that we have is that most people are incapable of making a decision because they haven't gotten the skills that will enable them to be able to make the decision. They're void of logic and reason and critical thinking and common sense and priorities and order of things and operational things. And that's what programs like Common Core has done to our kids. But the Common Core, also that's another thing, because this is all started in the schools. And that's the other thing that I keep on telling our kids. 1994, I have a book from 1994, The Child's Guide to Agenda 21.
Right. I found that a long time ago. Yeah,
right.
I've got that.
Okay, so now I tell the people when I talk to them, and I hold up the book and I say, this is 1994. Where are these kids today? Oh, my God, they're your kids. They're in Congress. They're attorneys.
Oh, they're sitting in the city planner's office.
They're sitting in the city planner's office. They're the architects. They're in your local government. You know, you've got to think and you've got to understand what that plan is so that you know where they're coming from, because that's the only way you can be ahead of them.
Well, and you know, if they have... to deal with the truth, they have to admit that everything they've been told is a lie.
Lie, yes.
And that's the other thing. It's really, really hard. You know, when I found out about a lot of this stuff, I seriously went through some, well, I'd go through depression about it all the time, but you know, I really, it was like a death. You know, you really have to rethink everything you have been taught, everybody who told you, who you trusted, even your parents, and not that they were lying to you, but they were indoctrinated in
they
some
were indoctrinated,
fashion.
Yes.
And so it's a grieving process.
My graduating class, when I was teaching, we were being trained how to do the indoctrination. We were the first group of teachers, and this was in the 60s.
Oh, really?
And that's why I tell everybody, you have to go back. And I started watching a program called Mad Men because it takes place in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And if people would take a look at that and see what went on in that ad agency, see the way that people behave, see what they're doing, see all the drugs, see all the whatever's going on in those offices, because that's what's going on now in Congress, in Washington, on Wall Street. These are the people that you're entrusting, these people. And
you know,
we
have to be real about what we're asking folks to accept, too, because we're not asking them to take a little 20 degree. We're not saying that it's 20 degrees out or, you know, it's just a little ways, that this is just a small thing. We're asking them to make a 180-degree shift in their thinking that government can be trusted. We're telling them absolutely government is a liar. Government is lying to you, and they have a plan.
News.
We just happen to know the plan.
Well,
the good news is
they're showing it to us on TV all the time now. Yeah. Well, whatever they're telling us it's about, it's never about that. And it's always about control and money. And that's really
money,
where...
Money, power, and control.
Right.
Money, power, and control. That's all it is. And somebody can only have power over you, folks. Listen, they can only have power over you if you give it to them. They can steal your money.
Well, whatever,
they can control
we have to
you,
question everything.
But they can't have power over you if you don't give it to them.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to read a sentence from this because it's on my mind, because it is about money. And this is the head of the United Nations. Welcome to the first meeting of the Advisory Board of the Sustainable Energy for All Initiative. I'm delighted to be joined by my co-chair, the president of the World Bank.
Isn't that sweet?
Mm-hmm.
So nice.
Well, I mean, that's what it's about.
Well,
that's
so.
And then when I start talking to people, another thing that I always tell them, and I wear a shirt that says you lie on it. And I tell them, I'm wearing this shirt and I'm talking to you because you're going to be forced to listen, look at it. And now when you hear the programs that they're telling you, you're going to remember the shirt and what they're doing. I said, everything is connected.
Who was the senator
at
that
random? Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah,
everything is based on lies.
Yeah.
And if you can get that, and the last sentence, you're right. That's the hardest one to realize.
Well, I can tell you that California is imploding. You know, and it's on purpose. But I mean, you know, the rest of the country had all they have to do is look to California to find out what's going to happen. And the thing is California is going to be, in my opinion, the first too big to fail state and the first redistribution state. The rest of the states are going to be expected to bail California out, and they're not going to want to, and I don't want anyone to do that, but the rest of the country will not have a choice. And I mean, it's kind of like the bank bailouts. You know, none of us had a choice. Our money was taken, our tax money was taken, and it was given to the banks, whether we liked it or not. And when California implodes, it will become the first too-big-to-fail state and the model for redistribution in our country, because all of over 50% of the people in California are now on welfare, and the rest of the country's taxes will be used to prop this state up and their communist, fascist infrastructure. And that's really what's going to happen. But,
you know, Heather, when you say that, one of the things that the American people, because we've all been through how many bubbles, you know, we had the savings and loan debacle.
Right.
We had the tech stock debacle. We had the housing debacle. We had the failure of GM and the banking system. So when we look at all the bubbles, what every listener must be mindful of, the next bubble is government. And state government is absolutely where it will take place. And I agree with Heather 100%. It will be California. They are going to be deemed too big to fail. And it will be a vast redistribution from every state's going to be have to participate in saving California. We can't allow California because of the vast number of population. And, you know, what is in California, we require California. California has bought into and has been taken down a path by politicians for the last, I think California is the perfect model of exactly where we're all headed if we continue down this path. But when we start to talk about what will the government bubble, when it bursts, what will happen to the American economy? And that's when everything's going to come to light, folks. And if we wait till then, we've waited far too long. And we're on the crust of that, I think. I think we're, you know,
what
on the
signs
brink.
What signs are you seeing in California, Heather?
Well, I mean, you know, look, I mean, our borders, we have no borders. You know, we have amnesty-free, you know, cities. I mean, they don't enforce any of our borders. So we're completely, all of our hospitals are overrun. They're going to be giving, I think, driver's licenses to illegals. But, you know, our infrastructure, our school systems, you know, everything is pretty much given away. But, you know, then we've got the cap and trade program, which is killing all of our businesses. So, you know, the California Air Resource Board and the requirements for the Clean Air Act here require truckers to spend $15,000 to $20,000 upgrading their trucks to adhere to these unbelievable air standards. So they're just shutting down, or they're just, you know, not trucking anymore. The businesses are leaving. All kinds of Campbell's Soup left. You know, all these businesses are leaving and going to other states. So, I mean, really what's left are people that can't afford to live here anymore. And most of the people that own homes have lost their homes. We had such a bad housing crisis in California that most of the people that bought homes that couldn't even afford them are now renting, or so many short sales and bank-owned properties, and most of it is turned into rental properties owned by, you know, big corporate trust.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we covered that last week.
Well, that was the purpose of the housing bubble,
was to get us out of our private property,
to get us out of our
property over to
the
government,
of our private property. To have the bank trust own these, to let them deteriorate, fall down, fall apart, and, oh, my goodness, they'll have to bulldoze it because it'll
be light and put up a sustainable city. Yeah, and so, you know, they're basically gearing up for these, you know, big stack-and-pack housing, you know, cities that are going to be the focus of human settlements throughout the state for the low-income housing for workers and whatever. And everything else is being bought up by land trusts and land banks, and the water is being taken over by public-private partnerships. But, you know, businesses, our schools, everything. We don't have money in California. We don't have any money, but yet they keep taxing us more. We've got, you know, high unemployment. We still have high unemployment. We have a terrible housing market, although it appears to be coming back a little bit. But people are leaving. We have negative growth in our state. So our revenues are down. So the people that are actually, you know, working and making money or wanting to make a living are leaving our state in droves, which leaves the welfare state. And those people are voting for more free stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Your first comment, Heather, to me is
a huge impact for every American. when we have any population, any state in this nation that has 50% of its citizens reliant on the government for their food, folks, that's not America. That's not who we are as a people. And California's got huge problems, and until they replace their government, and I don't see how you do that when you have a voting base by design who is going to vote for more giveaways.
Well, and we have in California, we have a completely controlled House and Senate and governorship that's all one party. You know, and I'm not blaming it on the Democrats, because the Republicans, you know, around here are just as bad, you know.
Sure.
I mean, seriously,
right.
You know, but at this point, there are no breaks. There's no checks and balances. There's nothing that can be done in California at the state level except literally watch it implode. I mean, I've got friends up at the state capitol who are, you know, assembly people and senators and, you know, who have called me in just tears, you know, saying, you know, what do I do? There's nothing to do. I mean, we can't get a bill introduced. We can't get it heard. We can't stop or block anything. So it's like
watching. So the citizen's voice has been lost in California.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And there, I mean, the agenda's set. You know, I'm telling you, the only way that California can fight is at the very, very local level, and so that's where I fight. I fight at the city and county level, because that's the only way. Even they can pass all the laws they want at the state level, but the city and counties are not forced to go along with most of those things. They say they're mandates, but they're not. And so they can't force local decisions. And so you can effectively block a lot of this stuff at the local level. And it's very effective. But that's the only fight that we have in California at this point in time. I mean, really, one of the reasons I fight and put all this stuff on YouTube is not so much to save California, but it's to show everybody else in the rest of the country what's going on here and expose what's happening and how to fight it before it's too late for you.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Because
and
really, if there's anything we can do, it's document what's happening here in California. Because someday people are going to go to jail for this.
Keep hoping too. And Heather, you know, that's you're a pioneer for a lot of us and a mentor, you know. And the only thing that I can say is a Louisiana fighter and a battler here in Louisiana, and not winning a lot of battles, and having folks, even when you share the truth with the elected officials and having them pass legislation and continue down the path, is that ultimately when it comes time, because what I do is I retain any documentation that I've given a guy. I have return receipts from every senator and congressman in the state of Louisiana. They will not be able to say they did not know and they were not told. What they're doing is treasonous. And I equate that to them quite often, because they're tyrants. And this is treason against our sovereignty. And if they think that's a light issue, folks, treason is serious. And,
well,
you know,
have you tried
afraid.
Serving them with a misprision of treason?
No, ma'am, I haven't.
Okay, if a city has signed on to ICLEI, they violated Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, going into a compact.
We have New Orleans is our only ICLEI city in Louisiana.
You can go and serve your city with a misprision of treason. Because what happens is, you know, these people sign on to this stuff and, you know, go into these, they make decisions at the city and county level. And then 10 years later, they're gone, right? And who's, you know, so you can't really sue them. But if you go in and you serve them with a misprision of treason and you notify them of their treasonous action, the misprision, it goes. It takes them out of their protective. It follows them forever. Okay, so they can be sued later on at any point in time, and they're personally held liable.
Yeah.
So you should go to freedomadvocates.org and look up misprision of treason, because Michael Shaw delivered a misprision of treason out here, and that's something that we're going to be doing. We've done a couple of them out here But if cities are actually actively part of ICLEI, they have signed on to an international charter and a constitution, putting them into a mayoral world congress where ICLEI acts as the agent on the world stage, which effectively, you know, violates Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. And so you can serve the entire council with a misprision of treason.
Okay. And where do you get that again one more time, Heather?
Go to freedomadvocates.org. And there's a video of Michael Shaw delivering a misprision. And then he's also got the documents that you can go, you know, send to, you know, give to your council and your city council and the, you know, put on record and all that. And you may, you know, you serve them with a misprision of treason with the intent of, hey, look, you know, we're going to sue you one day. And this, and when we do get around to suing people for this, we'll be able to go back and get you.
Excellent.
Because this follows them forever.
Great.
And then you can upgrade to full treason from there, because it is it's a misdemeanor treason that you're charging them with. And then, you know, anyway, just go to his site and you'll see what I mean.
Excellent.
And then the other thing that I'm looking into doing is getting the grand jury, all the counties in the nine Bay Area counties, we're going to be sending letters to the grand jury asking them to investigate, you know, all of this stuff. And so we're hoping that we can get some of the local grand juries in the different counties, the citizens grand juries, to investigate the Plan Bay Area process because it was a rigged process. You know, they've been going, you know, just all, whatever. I don't care what they investigate. I just want somebody to investigate them.
Investigate something.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, once you get it to the grand jury, they have to look at it. That's the thing, is then they will have to educate themselves. And that's what we're after. I mean, that's the push that this radio show and everything that's taking place across the nation in the Patriot Movement is
an
education of others.
I recommend that people take it to the grand jury. I mean, you know, send a letter to the grand jury, give them backup information, and then, you know, let them pick it up. You know,
yep.
I mean, that's that you can't, because you, that is outside of the district. The district attorney won't do anything.
No.
No.
Try that.
So you just go around them, go straight to the jury foreman, send a letter, and with all your backup information, and then, you know, if they want to investigate it, they'll investigate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we're trying to do is we're going to try to get all nine Bay Area counties to send these complaints to each of the grand juries in all the nine Bay Area counties and hope that, you know, one of them picks it up. And since it's a multi-jurisdictional regional agency, they can work together in investigating it. You know?
Sure.
So
I mean,
great idea.
Everybody work together.
You know, we don't need an army
of
people. We just need to think smarter, you know, and start coming up with some out-of-the-box ways of, you know, knocking these people down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm telling people to run or find people to run for office. And don't think about you have to win. What you have to do is get a platform, because that'll give you a platform to speak
Where they should be running is at the local city council. They
local
need to be getting on the planning commission
board,
meeting.
Planning
meeting.
Board.
Yeah, all of these non-sexy, you know, low-key positions are where these stupid decisions are being made. You know, it's being made at the water district, at the fire district,
right.
All these little, you know, boards, bodies, and commissions are what's killing us.
Right, and that's what we have to do. You have to get involved in that. And if you don't know, if you don't want to run, find somebody to run. Because we found out in Florida, I couldn't believe this, 54 positions were the senators and congressmen went back to office unopposed. 54 seats on the poll.
Well, it's because nobody gets up off their butt and decides to do anything about it. You know?
Right.
I mean, we can't.
Well, now I'm on a rampage in Florida and telling everybody, run for office. My girlfriend ran for office.
Get on the grand jury.
Get on the grand jury.
Get people on the grand jury. But if we could get people on the local grand juries, and then, you know, we can get people to investigate some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you get on the grand jury, you can bring up your own topics. I mean, they have to agree to investigate it, but if you have a, you know, something that you want investigated, you can bring it to the grand jury's attention if you're on the grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we need people in positions where we can affect, I hate that, change. But, you know, in a good way.
Well, change can be good or bad, and we're going to do
it
good.
Well,
and that's
we
what's
just,
so
we need to advocate
important.
For freedom, and you know, you can't watch them from the outside. You got to be in, and you got to get into these councils and. Anyways, you know.
Any possible way that you can. What is the lawsuit that Michael Shaw is doing out there?
Well, Michael Shaw and from Freedom Advocates and Rosa Quarry from Post Sustainability Institute have teamed up, and there's no lawsuit at this time yet. I mean, the plan hasn't been passed. It will be passed in July. But they're gearing up for a lawsuit, which, because we've just gone through the final environmental impact report and the draft plan and a public comment, 45-day public comment period. And basically what we did was we put all of our arguments into the record, you know, so that we can litigate. And I think there's going to be quite a few lawsuits that from both sides. I think people who don't think this plan is going to go far enough, and people who think it's going too far, you know. And I think, you know, the more lawsuits, the better, because this thing needs to have vigorous light shed on it and dialogue. But their lawsuit is covering, you know, private property. Fourth Amendment type of stuff, takings, because, you know, I don't know if they have this in other parts of the country, but in California, we, in the 1990s, you know, through voter approval, most people didn't know what they were voting for, but they voted for these urban growth boundaries, which are these arbitrary lines that are drawn around the cities and counties, which basically says, you know, where development will occur. If you are inside the urban growth boundary, you will get building permits and utilities and things like that. If your property happens to be outside of this urban growth boundary, you're basically cut off. You won't be getting any building permits. You won't be getting any city services. You can't, even if you wanted to pay to connect to the city sewer, they won't let you. Basically, that's it. You know, you're part of the wildlands now. And so that was done in the 90s. But now with these what they're calling priority development areas through these sustainable community strategy, they've created like another urban growth boundary within the urban growth boundary, which is the priority development area, which is where they're going to focus 100% or, you know, all of their redevelopment in these areas. So if you have property between the new PDA, the priority development area, and the regular urban growth boundary, you now are going to be 80 times less likely to get a permit.
Wow.
The focus of all redevelopment.
And people are going to actually move there?
Well, people don't even realize that their property has been their property values and their ability to use their property is going to be severely impacted due to all of these things that are happening. And these PDAs are just made up. I mean, they're not part of any legislation. They're not part of the, you know, SB 375 Sustainable Community Bill. They're just part of these, you know, plans to urbanize the core areas near downtown to, you know, theoretically get us out of our cars and whatever. But what's effectively going to happen is, you know, if you have a property outside of that priority development area, even though it's in the urban growth boundary, you're not going to be able to get permits. You're going to have higher development fees. You're going to be subject to California Environmental Quality Act, you know, regulations and environmental impact studies, whereas the developers within the PDAs are going to get the red carpet rolled out. They're going to get waivers.
Right.
They won't have to do any environmental impact studies and reports. They'll get bonuses for higher densities and lower incomes, and they can violate setbacks and height limitations. I mean, it's just crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
So that's one thing that, you know, is basically going to affect millions of property owners. And,
oh, sure.
And so that's part of the litigation. And then the other thing is that they're going after the 14th Amendment, which is the treating people differently, because, you know, those people inside the urban growth boundary that aren't in the PDA aren't going to be treated the same via permits and things like that. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff, you know. I mean, you know, there's another group that's, you know, looking at the CEQA stuff, and it's, anyway, anything we can do to stop this plan, you know, and slow it down and get conversation. They just had a big debate, the president of the regional body, ABAG, that's the land use planning side, and then the transportation authority was there, and then we had two big heavy hitters on the opposition side that just annihilated them. But you know, it's too little, too late. You know, 400 people show up to a debate, and the environmental impacts, everything's done. The decisions have been made. The public comment period has been closed. You know, they're going to vote on this July 18th, I believe. So it's kind of like, you know, the media didn't even really show up. It's unbelievable how this plan is going to affect almost 9 million people and totally transform California, not just the Bay Area. I mean, this SB 375 is a statewide initiative. I'm just talking about our area, 9 Bay Area counties and 101 cities. But this same plan is being implemented throughout California. And across the country, they're just, you know, you guys just don't have legislation forcing you to do this. Right, not yet. So please, don't let this legislation come about. I mean, you know, I keep telling people, you know, if you look at the legislation, a sustainable city is defined as a minimum of 20 units per acre, or a sustainable community is a minimum of 20 units per acre on up within a half mile of transit. So if you are not that, by definition, you are considered unsustainable. So single-family homes, your car, you know, anything less than 20 units per acre is not going to be funded as any type of redevelopment. There will not be any more single-family residential neighborhoods created in California anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the people have no idea, really.
No.
Unbelievable. No, it's not unbelievable. This is what's happening, folks. Wake up.
Hey,
wake
Karen,
up.
Can you give me 2 minutes?
Absolutely.
Sure.
And I'll come back. I'll be right back.
No problem. During this 2 minutes, John, I want to tell you something that's going on in Florida. It's called HB 87. And I need anybody who's listening to this call today, living in anywhere in the country, to call Governor Scott. And his phone number is 850-488-7146. And tell him to veto HB 87. Very important. This wonderful bill that the criminals in Tallahassee passed, which will soon be going to a state nearby, because what goes on in Florida will turn up someplace else, allows the banks to take possession of somebody's home in a shortened time frame of trial, whereby the consumer or the homeowner has to prove that the bank committed fraud, not the bank proving they did not commit fraud. So it takes due process, turns it on its head, and makes the defendant have to defend his guilt rather than defend the guilt rather than being innocent before proving guilt. The bank doesn't have to prove anything. The bank does not have to prove anything. It's disgusting. Not only that, the bank who has committed fraud and already was paid for the house gets to sign an affidavit saying that they have all the documents in their office, and they're all true. They wouldn't commit fraud.
Okay, I'm back.
Can you believe it? We were just talking about a wonderful bill that's passing in Florida that we're trying to get our governor to veto in Florida, which gives due process to the banks, gives due process to the plaintiff, not to the defendant. So the people who lose their homes have to prove that the bank committed fraud instead of the bank having to prove that they're innocent. And we already know they committed fraud. And you know what else? They get
property.
A chance to write an affidavit saying that they have the real and true documents in their office. They don't have to bring them.
Right.
Well,
they got caught with their shorts down before, and they're trying to just tie up some loose ends, right?
Yep.
Exactly.
And the fact that they've been paid, three times already for the houses.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
People don't get that one. And when I went to testify in Congress, I was told, you don't want to talk about fraud. We don't have to talk about that now. We've already discussed that. What?
Were any of you guys targeted in this IRS thing?
No, we elected to not become a 501c4, or I did, and I made that pitch to everyone because I knew what was going on and I didn't want to put us in that position because we needed to be a corporation right away.
They've got two different Tea Party groups in Louisiana that are looking at filing a lawsuit.
And
I think they've got a great chance.
Well, that's good. They should. You know, I looked into my group a couple of times. You know, we went back and forth about becoming a 501c3 or C4 or whatever, PAC, you know, and we had, this is a couple of years ago, we had heard of groups around here that said, you know, they were telling us how much they were being hassled, and we didn't believe it. And so every time we got to the point where we were just about to pull the trigger, you know, our group, you know, the people who were going to have to sign their names on the paperwork were basically like, I don't want to be, targeted. And so we never did. We would get to that point and then we would just back off. And we get to that point, we would back off. And so we never did. So we kind of got kept from becoming anything bigger than that because of just fear of what we were hearing from the other groups. So we never actually filed paperwork. So, you know, but I'm glad that it's all coming out. I mean, this is just outrageous.
Well, yes, and that is true. And this is at least a good start that has people's attention. And it was good. I always figured people would be more concerned about property rights. Boy, was I wrong. But money. So I guess this
is
a good thing.
Well, you know, everybody, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, is afraid of the IRS. I mean, you know, if you're
absolutely
not afraid of the IRS, you know, you don't have a pulse, you know.
That's it.
So, you know, I think it's really, you know, we've all been there where we felt like, you know, God, you know, we're so afraid to make a mistake with the IRS and to have them actually targeting individuals for anything, you know, it's just unbelievable, you know. I mean, I shouldn't say it's unbelievable. I don't trust my government past.
No.
But,
I'm
just glad that it's coming out. And
I was just going to say, I was so
glad. I hope they just stay on them. Because
but when we preach tyranny, and a lot of us do that, you know, we're living under a tyrannical master. Now we have evidence.
True. And, you know,
what is
important.
You know, how many times, 158 times or 178 times did they visit the White House? And
once every 9 days.
Wow.
That is absolutely insane.
Yeah, and the previous guy that was the head of the Internal Revenue Service went one time.
That's right. You're right about that. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there was a congressman, and I know it was on Blaze because I saw it, and I was going to watch it when the electricity went out. There was a congressman who gave a real solid 1 minute of all of the infractions that Obama and regime have lied about So at least now it's all on the record in one fell swoop. But he was very good. I was really impressed. It was like, oh, my goodness, somebody really found their voice.
They've got a lot of
job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the one thing. Every one of those folks in Washington is very, very aware that when it comes to the Internal Revenue Service, they even touch those guys. You know, and how many congressmen have had to deal with the Internal Revenue Service over issues and lost political campaigns.
Geithner never paid his taxes.
Rangel
never paid his taxes.
No.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm trying to think, Mr.
Right.
Sharpton, how much money Al Sharpton, Brother Reverend Al Sharpton, and the millions of dollars that he owes to the Internal Revenue Service.
I think they should start with the proctology exams in the House, in the Senate. And then
that's a great idea. Oh, God.
It's outrageous to think that we've got an administration that's reared its ugly head in so many evil fashions. I mean, they are out of control, totally out of control, and now the evidence is becoming clear, and it will become even clearer because they've opened up the door for all of these investigations to go forward,
right,
and knowing what
yeah.
they're perpetrating, and it's being done against us, American citizens. That's the one thing. Let me tell you something. Fast and furious affects every American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
when we have a government. They're our government. They're our elected officials. And they've got agencies that are gun-running Syria. When we look
mm-hmm.
at that, trust me, there's more underneath the surface of what took place in Benghazi than just the murder of four men. But the murder of four men by itself, an ambassador, and for people to roll over and go to bed and then have a talking point that says, oh, no, it was about a video, and to have that guy still in jail, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I mean. But the bottom line is this is our government taking all of these tyrannical actions, and whether it's, you know, they're doing it around the globe, we've got open borders, we have no sovereignty at all. And those are things that are supposed to be protected by these guys that represent us.
Yeah,
so
and those
surely
are the things that are actually in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Which is nice because it's giving
the
people
if they would just do the things that were in the Constitution they were supposed to do, just start there. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm cool with that.
And then you know something? It's really, I'm glad that this is finally happening because the people are being forced to hear words that they may not have heard before, like lie. And people are. The best thing is the people. People are standing up. People are coming forward. People are getting more motivated. And I think this is going to motivate people enough so that maybe we will have the 80% that's unhappy make a sane decision at the next election that might actually not be fraudulent, because that's the other piece of it.
Well, it's opened up a lot of conversation.
Exactly.
Yes,
you know, I hate to say it, but I'm glad he won the presidency again stole the presidency or whatever. But because honestly, I was concerned that people were going to go to sleep. You know,
yep.
I was afraid people would let down their guard, go to sleep, and think, oh, okay, you know, if some Republican got in there, then you know, okay, everything's okay.
It's not okay.
You know, and apparently the American people didn't have enough pain the first 4 years, and we need more to wake us up. So,
right.
You know, and it keeps people focused on, you know, on, I just think it advances the ability for us to, you know, get the message out.
Yeah,
I
at least we heard.
Agree.
I mean, now it legitimizes what we've been saying for the last 10 years.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
So when we send our useful idiots letters, which is what I've been calling them lately, and sheeple, they will at least know that we're telling the truth. And unfortunately, on that note, we're at the end. of a wonderful show, and we certainly enjoyed having you on, Heather, and hope you will come back again real soon.
I would love to.
And hopefully California won't fall off a cliff.
Signing off
because
from California.
Florida is going to sink, and Florida is going to be flooded. We're going to get 4 to 20 feet of water coming. When the oceans rise, because all the polar ice caps are going to melt.
Well, hey, we hear we're going to have sea level rising here, too. So, hey.
Oh, okay. Well, you shouldn't be left out.
We'll meet you in Denver or something.
Right.
There you go.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. This is Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks, and we're signing off for today. You've been listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, The American Statesman, and on Red State Talk Radio. Please join us, visit our website, share our information with your friends, but above all, do something. Everybody has it in their power to do something. So if you're listening to this show, that's your homework. Talk to a new person before the next show. Good night, John.
Good night, dear.
Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.